The Old Testament lesson is recorded in the book of Exodus, chapter 16, beginning at the second verse. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days." So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "In the evening you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, and in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we that you should grumble against us?" Moses also said, "You will know that it was the Lord when he gives you meat to eat in the evening and all the bread you want in the morning, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we? You are not grumbling against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses told Aaron, "Say to the entire Israelite community, 'Come before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling.'" While Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked toward the desert, and there was the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. The Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, 'At twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God.'" That evening quail came and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle lesson is recorded in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, beginning at the first verse. "As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each of us grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, 'When he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people.' What does 'he ascend' mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers, to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measures of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him the whole body, joined and held together by everything supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the opposite shore of the lake realized that only one boat had been there, and that Jesus had not entered it with his disciples, but that they had gone away alone. Then some boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the people had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they ask him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they ask him, "What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Well, I greet you this morning in the all-sustaining name of Jesus Christ. Most of the United States is well fed. I think most of us would agree with that statement. I mean, I'm kind of living proof of that. But there are cities, and there are areas within probably every city where that's not the case. Areas in which food is a day-to-day struggle. That's why we have programs and organizations that provide food and nutrition to those who are in dire straits and can't get a good meal every day. We have programs around this area called the Second Harvest of the Big Bend, or the Echo Food Pantry, or Project Annie, just to name a few. These programs do a lot of good to provide daily nutrition to the people in our community that live hand to mouth, basically, so that they have enough food to sustain their lives. Well, as you can imagine, in Jesus' time, it was even worse. There were a lot of people who are unable to obtain a consistent food supply every day for themselves and for their family. That's why they were chasing after Jesus, as our gospel lesson implies. They were looking for him. Our gospel lesson from John chapter 6. In fact, Jesus called them out on it. He said, Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill." You see, he had just fed the 5,000 men, plus the women and the children, probably close to 10,000, 15,000 people that he just fed on the other side of the lake. And so he came over to this side of the lake, and the people were looking for him to get some more food. Now, while Jesus was interested in providing for the basic nutrition for people, he was more interested in their spiritual, their eternal welfare. And so he used this hunger that they had for physical food, and he turned their attention to the spiritual food that he provides, namely to have them realize that he was the Messiah that they had been looking for, and he would feed them spiritual food. He told them, "Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval." But the people were chasing Jesus because they were hungry. They wanted some more food. And so they said, "Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." In other words, are you going to help us out again? Are you going to give us more food? You know, they kind of had this, you know, invisible sign that I pointed out to the children. You know, "Please help, I need food." But Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." He certainly was talking about himself, wasn't he? And they said, "Sir, always give us this bread." Of course, they were still talking about physical bread. They were talking about food. They wanted to continually have this food, this bread, so that they wouldn't have to live hand to mouth anymore. But Jesus was more interested in filling their hearts than their stomachs at this point in time. And so he decided to lead them into a discussion or a thought about spiritual food instead of just physical food. Spiritual food that comes from him. Then Jesus said the first of the I am statements. Now, we've talked about I am statements before. It's one of seven that's contained in the Gospel of John. And this is the first one. Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." And so what I want to do this morning is delve into this encounter that Jesus had with these people on the shore of the lake. And you'll see how Jesus weaved all of this together. There's a lot packed into here, and so stay with me as we go through it. The first thing is that Jesus used the I am statement. He declared, "I am." Now, Jesus goes on twice more right after our lesson to talk about this emphasis on that he is the bread of life. Now, these words alone to the people that he was talking to were significant. "I am" meant something to them because they have heard the scripture of Exodus and other books that they had up until that point. They'd heard that in the temples. It had been read to them. They knew it by heart. And in this statement, Jesus was equating himself to being God, okay? Because you remember in Exodus chapter 3, when Moses asked God what his name was, Because God was sending Moses to bring the captive Israelites out of Egypt, and they surely were going to ask, well, who sent you? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. Okay? So Jesus is equating himself with God, and they would have understood these words that he said. The second thing is that Jesus reminded them about the food that their ancestors had eaten in the wilderness, in the desert. Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. Jesus was referring to the manna, the what is it that we heard about in our in our first lesson. This manna fell from the sky and covered the desert in the morning so that the people could go out and they could get this bread and have their fill of bread in the morning. Little side note here. This translation of the verse in 32 reads that Jesus started off by saying, very truly I tell you. Okay? If you look at the Greek here, the Greek translation, there's two words put here that if you translate it into English, it means truly, truly, or amen, amen. Now that's significant, the way Jesus did that, because this was in the form of a solemn oath. You know, an oath that's solemn like that has to be witnessed by two people. And that's the reason for the double truly, truly, or the amen, amen. Because Jesus said it this way, he was telling these people that what he was about to say next is very, very, very important. As a matter of fact, it might even be life or death important. And so he told them that he was the bread of life. The third thing is that he focuses their attention, or he shifts the focus of their attention, into him giving them spiritual nourishment instead of just physical bread, physical nourishment. He said, for the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He changed from the bread of God to calling himself the bread of life. Now we know about bread, don't we? I mean, it's a basic necessity of life. It's kind of ubiquitous. It's a word that we use to connote, you know, basic food that people need to survive. You know, we talk about people existing on bread and water, don't we? Well, calling himself the bread of life means that Jesus was saying that he is essential to life. Of course, the life he was talking about was eternal life. And notice how Jesus said it. He said to the people, whoever comes to me will never be hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Do you catch that? He kind of frames it as an invitation. Come and believe. That invitation is the basis for his ministry here on this earth. It's an invitation for all who are hungry, not just hungry for physical food, but who are hungry for spiritual food, who are hungry for eternal food. Jesus is the bread on which mankind's eternal life is based. He is the spiritual food that we all need. Someone once said, without the bread of life, we would all be toast. How true is that? And notice that he also said, whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Now, Jesus called himself the bread of life, and he said that he will give living water to those who believe in him. You may remember his encounter a couple of chapters backward in chapter 4, his encounter with the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well. You know, he was sitting on the well, and the woman came out to draw water. And Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Now, what did he mean by that? Well, I've always advocated what Luther did, and that was to discern Scripture using other Scripture. And so if you skip down to chapter 7 of John, we see Jesus at a festival in Jerusalem, the Festival of Tabernacles. And in that encounter, in that event, we read this: "On the last and greatest day of the festival," which obviously means the most people would be present, "Jesus stood up and in a loud voice said, 'Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them.' By this he meant the Spirit whom those who believe in him were later to receive." And so Jesus said he is the bread of life, and he will give rivers of living water to those who believe in him. He will give his Holy Spirit to those who receive faith in him. Again, he's mixing the physical food, the physical nourishment, with spiritual nourishment to get these people to understand why he was there. So what does this mean for us? I mean, what's our takeaway today? Well, we know that everything we have comes from God, right? At least I hope we do. He gives us things, or he gives us knowledge and skills to be able to obtain the necessities of life, to obtain bread and everything else that we need. But when people are hungry, and I don't know if any of you have been in this position, when people are hungry and they don't have a reliable source of food, their focus is on food. You know, where's my next meal going to come from? What do I have to do to get something to eat? It's hard for them to focus on anything else. But Jesus emphasized, "Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you." It's important, folks, for us as the body of Christ here to love other people, to love one another and other people, so that we do have, you know, we do provide nutrition. We too provide food for people who cannot get food for whatever reason. And so it's important, like I said to the children, to support these programs like Echo Food Pantry and Second Harvest of the Big Bend and Project Annie and so many more around town. Because in this way, we not only help people sustain themselves by getting the nourishment that they need to live their physical life, we're allowing them then to take the focus off of food and let them put it on what's more important. The more important thing is their eternal life. You see, through us, through the believers of Jesus, God is supplying the basic needs for other people to sustain their physical life. But when we tell people about Jesus, or when other organizations that we support tell people about Jesus, then we're giving them the way that they can thrive eternally. That's what God wants. The Holy Spirit will then allow them to see who Jesus really is and allow them to see what Jesus really offers them. That's part of being in the kingdom of God. That's part of being the body of Christ, the eyes and the ears and the hands and the feet of Jesus here on this earth. What about us? What about us who are not constantly thinking about food? At least I hope we're not. Well, while hunger in most of America, like I said, doesn't have us focus on food, we have plenty of things in our lives that take our attention. Okay? We have plenty of things where we focus our attention, like our work, like our family, like our health, like financial stability, like our friends, maybe sports, whatever it is, you name it. There are plenty of things in our lives that can compete for our attention. But our attention needs to be focused on Jesus too, because Jesus is the bread of our life too. He is essential for our lives. He feeds us every Sunday in our services here. He gives us His holy word to nourish our minds. He gives us His holy body and blood to nourish our souls, our spirits. He gives us His the living water, His spirit, to live in us, to guide us, to help us grow to become mature Christians. He gives us each other to support us, to care for each other. The purpose of nourishment, right, is to sustain our lives and to help us grow, right? If we're not focused on receiving that spiritual food, then we're really not focused on Him. And if that's the case, it would seem to me, if we don't really feel compelled to chase after Him for our spiritual food, then, quite frankly, we're headed for spiritual starvation. That's not what God wants for us. Think of it this way. It doesn't do us much good to go down to the Publix grocery store here and just wander through the aisles and look at the cans and look at the boxes and then go home. Doesn't do us much good, does it? It doesn't do us much good to have somebody read to you the package and describe to you how delicious it would be if you had it. That doesn't do us much good. What we have to do is that we have to actually buy the food. We have to actually take it home. We have to actually prepare it, and we have to actually eat it for it to be doing us any good. Well, it's the same with our spiritual lives. We have to learn it. We have to believe it. We have to practice it. Not just here, but everywhere. That's the way we grow and mature. That's the way we achieve what we've called the divine nature. That is becoming more and more like Jesus every day. What God expects for us is expressed by Paul in our second lesson today from his letter to the Ephesians in chapter 4. Because Paul wrote this, he said, "Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." That's where you and I come in, folks. God wants us not to just be Christians, but to be mature Christians. So that, as Paul wrote, "Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming." We know that there's all kinds of deceitful scheming out there to get us to fall away from our belief in Jesus. When we're mature Christians, it guards against that. So, my friends, our question for today is, are you hungry? Are you hungry? Are you looking to Jesus for your next spiritual meal? Are you chasing after Him? Do you want to grow and mature as Christians? I hope you do. I hope you do. I hope you stay hungry for the rest of this temporary life that we're living, until we achieve what Paul says in our lesson today, until we all reach unity in faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Did you catch that? The whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That's a lot. That's a lot. And so, let's stay hungry, my friends. Let's stay hungry for the bread of life. Hungry for the rivers of living waters. Hungry for the fullness of Christ. Amen? Amen. Amen.